But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Verse 35. Thus shall ye say, everyone to his neighbor, and everyone to his brother, what had the Lord answered? And what had the Lord spoken? May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, John.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Folks, I feel a little uncomfortable being up here. Do you mind if I move down there? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I don't have a roving microphone, but in this case, we'll call it quits. Blessed Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to study your words, the Lord to know and see what's going on. Father, we invite your spirit in anew to fellowship with us, to guide us, open our eyes and our ears that we can see and that we can hear. Thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I imagine that some of you might be thinking that I was going to preach a sermon with a holiday tint to it. As I was looking on the calendar, I saw that there's four more Sabbaths before the day. And so there's plenty of time to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen? But here, I wanted to call your attention to something that's going on in our world. We're here in the Seventh-day Adventist Church on the Sabbath day. Amen? I wanted to ask a question, and I do want to show a hands for this question because I think it's important. How many people sitting in this congregation right now were not raised as a Seventh-day Adventist? Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, Jewish, whatever. Okay, so there's a significant number of people who came out of Sunday-keeping churches, possibly, or maybe you had no religious faith at all, maybe you were an atheist, whatever, it doesn't really matter. You heard the word, thus saith the Lord, you saw it in the Bible, you believed it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. What's happening nowadays is we live in a society, and you've seen this already, we live in a society where people get behind someone. And that person might be very entertaining, very engaging, very photogenic. Notice Hollywood. With all these the people they have in Hollywood, when you look at these people, they're beautiful by human standards, okay? I want to make sure I understand that. By human standards, they're beautiful. They're photogenic. They speak well. Maybe they got some education. And so people get behind them. Thus, you see the results of Hollywood and how successful they are because people get behind these people. They want to emulate them. Well, sir, the same thing is happening in a lot of our churches, a lot of our Sunday-keeping churches. There's a lot of people that are speaking very positive messages. Just for instance, I'm willing to bet a lot of you have heard of Pastor Joel Osteen. If you haven't heard of him, you will. He is a very successful, he's phenomenally successful pastor in Houston, Texas. He doesn't have a church. Well, he does have a church. He has a church building. He doesn't meet in it. You know why? Every Sunday morning, between 15 and 20,000 people show up for his sermons. 15 to 20,000. Imagine what would happen here if we had 15,000 people. We couldn't keep them all. We'd have to knock the walls down. He has 15 to 20,000 people. Why does he have that many people showing up? Well, if you've seen him, he is a young fella, good looking by human standards. He speaks a very smooth, very positive message. In fact, he's got a best-selling book, Become a Better You. Now, if you listen to his preaching, if you listen to the message, it's all about you're going to get a bigger, better job and bigger pay and better house and everything's going to be good and everything's going to be fine. And that's what he preaches a lot of. And that's what people, they're flocking to this. They want to hear this. Is he the only one doing it? No. A lot of other people out there. You might have heard some of these names. Benny Hinn. Creflo Dollar? How about Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye? They're the ones who wrote the Left Behind series. For those of you who don't know or unaware, Left Behind is the teaching of the secret rapture. We're out of here. We're going to get out of here. We're not going to deal with the Battle of Armageddon. We're not going to deal with the seven last plagues. We're not going to deal with all these issues. Just speak positive messages to us. Just tell us everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. And hey, we'll come stuff dollars in your basket as it comes by. Well, folks, is that what the Bible really has to say? Is that what the Bible is telling us about what's coming in our world, about what's happening, what is coming into our world today? Some of you, I just heard John talking about going to the doctor and all that. His friend went and found out he had terminal cancer. Sorry to hear that, John. We'll pray for him. But now if you went to the doctor and you had cancer, and the doctor said to you, don't worry, Dennis, it's just a rash, but it's melanoma, you need to know you've got a serious condition so you can take care of it. The doctor's not doing you any favors if he just tells you it's just a rash, just a scratch. You need to know what you're dealing with. Turn with me, folks. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. In your Bibles, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's find out, what does the Bible say about our world? What does the Bible have to tell us about what is going on in our world today? This is a scripture that most of you are very familiar with. Most of you can find it fairly easily. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We'll read most of it, not all of it. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." How many believe we're in the last days? Maybe the second to last days or third to last days? I believe Jesus Christ coming very soon. We're in the last days. What does it say? It said we're going to have everything easy and comfortable and you get more jobs and better pay? It doesn't say that. It says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Does this sound a little bit like what's been going on in our world for like the last 50, 100, 200, 500 years? A little bit like it, maybe? "Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Folks, I see a lot of that going on right now. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, the Bible tells us a different story. It tells us that the world is not such a nice place anymore. Now, we all know the famines and the earthquakes and everything else. We see it all the time. You know, it's on the news, on the radio. We're hearing about it constantly. All these major earthquakes and kicking up, you know, tidal waves and tsunamis. 3 years ago, we had the Asian tsunami, terrible crisis. These are not just the only signs. I think another very interesting sign that Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 21, Jesus gave this. Luke chapter 21 is Luke's version of Matthew 24, when he talks about the earthquakes and the rumors of earthquakes, the wars and rumors of wars. And this is what he says in Luke 21. He says, "And there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring." So Jesus is telling us that the nations are going to be perplexed, and people are going to be fearful of the signs that they're seeing all around them. You know, we had the Asian tsunami, and that was December. We're coming up on the third year anniversary of that. After 1 year, Time Magazine went back to some of the areas over there like Thailand and Sri Lanka, and they wanted to find out how the people were coping with the aftermath of the tsunami. And they found out that there was a significant uptick in cardiac deaths from the survivors. And when they went to investigate what was going on, they found out that the people were so terrified. They were so, the destruction that was caused by these enormous water waves that came crashing inshore, they had completely removed all sensibilities from them, and they were dying. They were dying of fear. Cardiac deaths. In areas like Thailand, they don't have cardiac death over there. They don't have the same type of diet that we have. So to see an uptick of cardiac death over there, that's significant. That's a sign that's coming. Jesus said there was going to be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Is this something that is just going on today? Is the Lord shaking the heavens today? And maybe he wasn't doing it 1,000 years ago? Well, folks, I submit to you there were signs in the sun, moon, and stars all along. They used to see comets out in space, and they would harbingers of evil. But you know that since the early 1990s, we have the Hubble Space Telescope up in outer space. You've all heard about that, right? Maybe you've gone to the website and looked at some of the pictures. Fascinating. Now, you know, a lot of the people that work for NASA, a lot of the people that are on the Hubble project, these are astronomers and physicists and scientists, and unfortunately, most of them are atheists. They don't believe in God. So there's all these pictures that are coming back from the Hubble Space Telescope. And a lot of these people are perplexed because they're seeing things in outer space that don't fit the model of the Big Bang. And so all of a sudden, the Hubble Space Telescope has been pushed off to the side. God, speak smooth things to us. We want to hear smooth things. How do we, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, respond to all these things that are going out there? How do we respond to the corruption, if you want to call it, that is going on in the church? And trust me, folks, we got plenty of our own problems to deal with too, amen? But out there, a lot of you just raised your hand earlier when I said, how many of you came up from different churches? Did you come into this church because someone pointed a gun to your head? Did you come into this church because the food was really good? I did at first, but then I found out the truth. But, you know, I read the truth, and I was like, hey, the lured me in with the food and kept me in for the truth. Amen. But how do we deal with all these things? How do we deal with, we go to our friends and we tell them the 7 days of Sabbath, oh, you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. And there is a debate that is raging. You know, we're talking this quarter about the refiner's fire. We've been talking about this, and in fact, last week, it was talking about hope. Talking about hope that we have. And it said, you know, it's really easy to have hope and faith when you're in church, but when you walk out, what happens to that hope and that faith? Where does it go? What happens to it? Folks, we have a lot of friends. I have dear friends of mine that are in Sunday churches. Now, I praise the Lord that they're reading their Bibles. I praise the Lord that they're praying to Jesus. And I praise the Lord that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? You got to find common ground. Now, John, there's some good places to go fishing on this island. Where's a good place to go fishing? Any place. Okay, Why Not Coast. How about Lake Wilson? Yeah, I've heard that there's fish in Lake Wilson. I have. I've actually heard that they got a stock from time to time. I have a swimming pool in my condo complex. Do you think that's a good place to catch fish, in a swimming pool? It's water. There's water there. How come it's not a good place to catch fish in a swimming pool? There's no fish there. There's no fish in a swimming pool. Why would you go fishing in a place where there's no fish? In order to catch fish, you got to go where? Where do you got to go? Where the fish are. You can't just open your cooler and say, come on in. You got to go catch them. Jesus Christ, what did he say? He said to the apostles, you are fishermen, and I will make you fishers of men. That's where we are. We're in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we're looking out at these other organizations, and they have a relationship. There's something going on, though. One more verse. Turn with me. This is time is Thessalonians. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a problem. Jesus Christ commanded us. He gave us his great commission. In Matthew 28, he said, go ye therefore into all the world, teach them to command all things I have given you to observe, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ gave us the commission to go out into the world. We come over here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 10, or chapter 2, and verse 9 and 10. And this is Paul talking about the coming of the lawless one. And I'm going to read it here. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. Most of you who are in this church because you had the love of the truth. Not so much the food, it's good. Not so much because the pastor's good looking, not me. But because you have a love of the truth. Verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Whoa. Okay, wait a minute now. God has given us the commission. God said, go ye therefore into all the world, teach and preach, baptize them. And then he says, but wait a minute, hold on. I'm going to make it really, really hard for you. I'm going to send them strong delusion so that they will believe a lie. Wait a minute. Hold on a second here. Lord, you want us to go teach and preach, but at the same time, you're going to make them believe a lie so that they won't believe what we're saying. Thanks a lot, Lord. Appreciate that. So, are we to just give up? You know, we can't reach them. We can't preach them. Who am I? I'm just a mere mortal. God, the creator of the world, the all-knowing, all-powerful, the creator of heaven and earth, is saying, I'm going to make them believe a lie so that you, John, mere mortal, sordid and weak, can't convince them. It's a losing proposition. Now, did God say he's going to make them believe the lie, or did he say he was just going to send them? And does God really send them the delusion? It comes about because they've turned away from the truth. They've turned away from the thus saith the Lord. We read it in Jeremiah. What hath the Lord said? Everyone answer, what has the Lord spoken? If it's not in the Bible, we don't need to do it. If it's in the Bible, let's talk about it. Is this something that maybe was done away with? We're not killing lambs anymore, right? I mean, I've been in church now for a while. I haven't seen anybody bring a lamb in. Hope not. So are we to continue to preach to the lost? Are we to continue to preach to them, or should we just give up and go home? Now, I don't want anybody walking out of here saying, John told us we don't need to preach. That's not what I'm saying. I'm asking a rhetorical question. Do we continue to preach to the lost? Yes. Why? Why, in face of this opposition, do we continue to praise and preach and teach? Well, we already said it. Jesus gave us, he gave us the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19. Now, Paul has also written some things for us. Paul, the great preacher, think about what he endured. When you talk about persecution and all that stuff, what's the worst that's happened to us? I've been called crazy. I've been called demon-possessed because I believe in the seven-day Sabbath. That's honest to God truth. Paul, who has already walked so much and he wrote so much for us, encourages us because he says, how shall they believe unless they have heard? Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How will they believe unless someone is sent to teach them? How will they believe? Jesus also says, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. I commission you to go get them. I commission you to go teach them. I commission you to go preach to them. Isaiah, writing centuries ago, talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, the Counselor, the Amen, the Almighty, said it in this way, you shall be as a light to the Gentiles. Well, who's the Gentiles? If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. It was either one or the other back then. Well, we are all Gentiles, but we have been baptized into the church. We are all spiritual Jews, baptized because of the promise that Jesus Christ gave. Through Christ, we are spiritual Jews. We are related. We're grafted in to the family of Abraham. Is that good news? That's good news. Amen. We're part of this end time church, end time faith. Now, Jesus didn't just leave us to go preach the word. What did he offer us? He said, I am going to send you some help. I'm going to send you the Comforter. When Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished, his part was finished. Our part was just beginning. We are now commissioned to go out into the world, and we don't go alone. Jesus says, I am with you sometimes. Always. Praise the Lord. He says, I am with you. The Lord God, Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit to remind us of these things, to convict the world of sin so that others would see what's going on. You know, we talked about these smooth-talking preachers. We talked about how they're preaching all this stuff. What are they going to say when the world continues to get worse and worse and worse? Where is their message going to be? The people are going to want to know how to escape the coming destruction. How to escape. Is there any hope? That's what the people want to know. How are you going to get hope? Through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. It says, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he shall guide you in all truth. So that those who are out there, who are in those organizations still, when they see these things happening, they're going to want to know. They are going to want to know. So that's another reason why. Now, Jesus gave us the example of planting a seed. I have a little garden plot. I just planted some seeds over there. Dig a big hole, put one seed in, right? Is that how you plant? You just dig a hole, plant one seed, throw some water, walk away? Or do you put a whole bunch of seeds in there? You put a whole bunch of seeds in. And if it doesn't grow the first time, what do? You put some more in. And maybe you have to do it three or four times before your garden comes up. The same is true with witnessing. I've heard Bob Ellis talk about this. When people come in, we like to tell them, hey, you're here 5 minutes. You're part of our family. Praise the Lord. But I've actually heard that when a visitor comes to a church, that he or she needs to have at least like 3 or 5 or 6 personnel to come up to him and say, hey, we're really glad you're here. Welcome here. Glad they had, what's your name? You know, when people get that kind of reception, they want to come back. Amen? They want to come back. They want to know what's going on. Why are you going to church on Saturday? What's going on with this? They want to know these things. And so that is part of the Great Commission, reaching out to them. Folks, there is one more thing. Why is this thing about going and talking to these people, why is it so hard to get them to see the truth when it's black and white? You know, folks, talks about the coming of the lawless one. It even mentions it. Paul says, the workings of Satan. Now, the whole universe is watching. The whole universe is watching this whole thing unfold. There is going to come a time when we are going to be called as a witness. We're often called as a witness. But when everything is said and done, people are going to want to know, why did you do this? Why did you go there? Why did this happen? This is all to vindicate God. We are all here as a witness to the glory of God, and God is using you to vindicate him. Because although there's people out there who are saying, well, I see it in black and white, but you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. Have you heard that before? I had a lot of people tell me that. You know, if there was a bomb that fell out of an airplane, and you had to go and deactivate the bomb, and you had the instructions, and there's three wires, a green wire, a blue wire, and a white wire. And the instructions built by the maker tell you cut the blue wire. Are you going to go, yeah, you believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe? Or are you going to cut the blue wire? You're going to cut the blue wire because this is the guy who made the bomb. He knows how to deactivate it. The same is true with the Word of God. And there's plenty of people out there who are ready to believe, but maybe they need a little extra. Maybe they need to hear this again. Now, Dennis, you might come and tell somebody, and yeah, okay, whatever. And then maybe the other Dennis, you might tell them, and somebody else would come and tell them. after they've heard it 3 or 4 or 5 or maybe it might even be 10 times. Folks, I studied this message for 2.5 years before I said, okay, I'll get baptized. I was a hard case. I wanted to know. I wanted to make sure I was following the word. I wanted to make sure I was walking in the will of Jesus Christ and not just following some fancy church because they put verses together and made it sound nice. Amen? I wanted to make sure that what I was doing was according to the will of God. When everything is said and done, the universe, there's going to be people who are going to say, tell me about what happened. Tell me about how you witnessed for Jesus Christ. This is what we're here for. We're here as a witness for Jesus because we have somebody, we have an enemy called the accuser of the brethren. We already talked about him. And he is standing up against us. The whole world. How are we going to demonstrate that God did everything he could? Yes, God wrote his word. He used mankind to write his word. Is this the easiest book in the world to understand? Yes or no? No, it's not. There's some complex things in the Bible. Sometimes you got to read it. Sometimes you got to get a commentary about it, especially when you go to some of the prophecies in Daniel and Ezekiel. But once you understand it, it's crystal clear. Amen? Once you have an understanding of the word of God and prophecy, it becomes crystal clear. So God has written his word. This should be enough. It should be enough to get the people out there, our friends and our neighbors, our families, and those who are not worshiping with us on the Sabbath, it should be enough to get them to understand. But they look at it and they say, well, you know, it says it. It says it was nailed to the cross. It says that they had a meeting on Sunday. It says that they did something on the first day. Oh, all these different things that they say. Folks, what did Paul say? We went to 2 Timothy. Go back. Go back to 2 Timothy. We kind of started off there. 2 Timothy, and we're going to go to chapter 4. We started off with 3, turn one page, go over to 4. Here's Paul speaking his final message to Timothy before his valedictory. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. What does he say? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean to be ready in season and out of season? It means to be ready to preach when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Be ready at all times. What does it say? Convince, rebuke, extort with all long suffering and teaching. This is what Paul did. Paul do this. That's why you see all these different churches, and that's how come the Christian church spread like wildfire, because Paul and some of the other disciples and the followers and Priscilla and Aquila who accepted the truth began to spread these teachings, and people saw it. They saw the fulfillment of the Old Testament in their lives, in their days, and they wrote these great words to us. And not only do we have these words, we have the words of so many people who have come and gone. Martin Luther, amen. We have John Huss, Jerome, Zwingli, and we have Ellen White. And normally I don't do this. Ellen White said a statement that I just want to read here. She's talking about the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people say, well, the Spirit is leading me. Okay, great, the Spirit is leading you. It says, and since it is the Spirit of God that inspired the Bible, it is impossible, impossible that the teachings and the leadings of the Spirit should ever be contrary to the Word of God. So if people are being led by the Spirit and it's not in accordance with the Word, what does Paul say? Preach, rebuke, extort with long suffering. Let your friends and your neighbors know. Folks, have you been invited to a Bible study? Have you been invited to a Bible study that's not Seventh-day Adventist? Go. Go. Don't join them, but go. Hear what they have to say. We're talking about the refiner's fire. How do you sharpen your sword? How do you sharpen your instrument? You sharpen it against the rocks. You sharpen it by rubbing it against that stone. And sometimes there's little burrs in the metal, and you might even get a little nick from that. You got to continually sharpen it. How do you sharpen your sword? Folks, there's people out there that want to know. And there's people out there who are following a good-looking preacher, following people who are speaking positive messages. Oh, you'll get a bigger car, you get more this, you get more that. And when these things don't happen, what's going to happen? What's going to be the fallout? Friends, I submit to you that we all have the opportunity to reach our friends and our neighbors. Maybe not today, but it says, preach the word. They might have strong delusion, but the word of God can overcome any delusion from the devil. Amen? The word of God is crystal clear. It's easy to understand. You don't need a bachelor's degree. You don't need a PhD to understand it. You just need a little bit of time to get into the word. And the more you're into the word, the more time you're going to spend in it. And then you pray. And once you mix Bible reading and prayer and faith, all these things we're talking about, Jesus Christ will lead you in these things. He will give you the opportunity. How many of you have had opportunity to speak the word and then, you know, maybe an hour later or maybe even a day later, you go, oh, I could have spoken the word to that person. Has that ever happened to someone? It's happened to me a lot of times already. There's often opportunities. Jesus Christ will lead you in places. You can't always speak the word, but you know what? You can always give them a little taste. You can't always say, here is the word of God, open it up and eat it, but you can give them a little bite. You can give them something. Something that they can go, all right. And the more you give them, give it to them in love. Give it to them so that they see, all right, I got this guy preaching smooth things over here, and all I'm getting is a rough road. Let me go hear what this guy has to say. Folks, if you're faithful like that, God will give you opportunities to sharpen your sword. And by the way, I'm a very big advocate of writing in your Bibles. You remember that law they passed a number of years ago that says if you write in your Bible, they're going to come lock you up in jail? Well, they rescinded that law. You can write in your Bibles and mark in them and do all kind of stuff. A Bible, I have had people come up to me because my Bible has so many notes and colors and highlights in it. They come up to me and they go, are you a pastor? Well, no, I'm not, but I have been studying the Word of God. That's happened several times. I don't know if that's happened to you. Praise the Lord. Let them see that you are studying the Word of God. Let them know what you're doing. You can study the Word of God in public. I like to go to the Starbucks coffee house. I don't drink the coffee. All right? Just let me say that. I don't drink their coffee. Sometimes I'll go get their herbal tea. Sometimes I'll just sit there and read the Bible. I've had three or four very interesting conversations with people just say, oh, you're reading the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, let me know. Let me tell you what it says. There's plenty of opportunity. God will continue to lead and guide as you are ready. And even when you're not ready, he will bring them to you. Paul says, convince, rebuke, in season and out of season. There are times to speak the word of God. And those times are becoming more and more. And the vortex is coming together, folks. You know, as a storm approaches, you've got the winds that are the strongest at the center. Then you got that calm eye. But what happens after that calm eye? Winds going the other way. Take that time. Take those times to speak the word. Email. Send a little email to your friends and your neighbors. Put a little Bible verse in there. By the way, this is my favorite Bible verse. I hope you get a blessing from it. Let them know that Jesus Christ is the reason for you, for your hope. Let them know that there is understanding in the Bible. And by doing that, you are planting the seeds that maybe others will be able to bring fruition of. Do the part of the evangelist. And friends, you will be blessed. We are in this thing together. God is going to, God will be vindicated. No matter what happens, God will be vindicated. His name will be glorified. And he's going to say, I did everything I could to reach them. I had my friends, I had my church, I had my people, talking to them, preaching to them, writing songs, writing books. I did everything I could. We're here to glorify and vindicate God. Let's make it happen. In Jesus' name, amen.